Good. It's good to see y'all in the back. Y'all can take a seat. I love being outside. I really do. Gives me, at least if I sweat out here, I got a good excuse. It's hot. The sun's beaming down. And I'll tell you how I'd like to start this portion of the service today is I want us to have a moment of silence. It is the 15th anniversary of 9/11 and that tragedy. And so I want us just to pause and reflect on that for a minute. I was thinking about that day this morning. I know everybody's got the story about where they were, when the towers were hit, and I'm not going to go into mine. I know that y'all remember that, but for me, when I was thinking about it today, I thought about how weird it is. You know, in our lives, we have times in our lives where we've been hurt, and we have wounds from those things, and we call those scars. On our bodies, we have certain scars that are reminders of things that we walked through. And I think it's really weird that when I think about that day, even when I see the day 9/11, September 11th on a calendar, it's like the day has a scar. And I think that's a weird feeling. And I just want us to pause. Let's have a moment of silence. I'll pray, and then we'll get going. Let's have a moment of silence. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us to not be afraid. I pray that you would help us to trust in you and to live in this world without fear, even when tragedy strikes. Help us to be people who follow your example and who run into fires instead of run away from them. Show us how to love this world the way that you love it. Show us how to love people the way that you love it. Use the tragedies, use the scars in our past to remind us of your goodness and of your grace and to draw us close to you. Lord, we love you. And we remember today. We remember those who were lost. We remember that they had families and they had kids and they had parents and they had grandparents. And God, we mourn with them because we know that for many of those people today, that wound is just as fresh as it was 15 years ago. Let them know wherever they're at that they're loved and that you are on the throne, as we've sang this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want you to listen to this quote from a book that I read a couple of months ago from a lady named Shauna Nyquist. And the book's called Present Over Perfect. And this is what she says. She says, "It seems to me that one of the great hazards preventing true community is quick love, which is actually charm." She says, "We get used to smiling, hugging, bantering, practicing good eye contact, and it's easier than true, slow, awkward, painful connection with someone who sees all the worst parts of you. Your act is easy. Being with you, deeply with, is difficult. It's better to be loved than admired. It's better to be truly known and seen and taken care of by a small tribe than adored by strangers who think they know you in a meaningful way. We know that's true, but many of us functionally have gotten that math wrong in one season or another." Church, my confession to you this morning when I read that quote is that I find it to be incredibly convicting. I am, and I'll own it, I'm the kind of person, when I look at my own life, who desires quick love over real love. I'm the kind of person who would rather be admired than to really be in the midst of community. I'm the kind of person who would rather be liked for my false self or my shadow self than disliked for my real self. I'm the kind of person who would rather play the game and be loved than be known really well and be criticized. And to be honest with you, when I look out at the landscape of the church today, I don't think I'm the only one who's like that. I see a lot of people who are living that way. Like Cody said when he talked about going off the script. This is a moment where I'm going to go off the script for a second. This is not in my notes. And I went to the football game yesterday in Bristol and didn't get home until about 2 o'clock in the morning. So if I say anything that pushes the envelope, you just say, "That's Bristol, baby," and go on. Okay. We'll pretend like it's not a big deal. But I noticed something yesterday at the ball game, and Bethany and I talked about it a little bit, and I found it to be incredibly disturbing. You know, from a very young age, we are taught to play certain roles and to play certain parts. And a lot of us just give in and play those roles and play those parts. I looked out at that 150,000 people, and the whole day I just saw a bunch of like college age girls, and they were all dressed pretty much the same way, inappropriately. And they were all being like overly friendly, and they were all acting really silly, and they were all acting like they weren't really all that smart. And I just looked at those people, and I talked to Bethany about it, and I said, "Beth, these girls have been taught to play a role. Like, they've been told from the time they were like 11, 12 years old that they were just supposed to be pretty and act like they weren't very needy and just act like they really weren't all that deep inside, or they didn't have their own thoughts, or they didn't have their own mind. And then if they do that, they'll find a man. And then once they're married, the man can help give them their identity," or something like that. And I'm just looking out and I'm thinking, man, we are all taught 12, 13 years old. We're all given these roles and we're taught to play the role. And a lot of us do it. I mean, I do it. And a lot of you ladies, I know a lot of you do it. And what happens when we do this is we do end up finding the spouse, finding the man, finding the woman, and then we get married, and then after 5 or 10 years, we actually really get to know what that person's like, and a lot of these relationships end up in divorce. And that's because we put the facade on. We put the show on. We're told to play the part, and so we rise up and play the part. Church, what we're trying to do this morning, when we talk about our small groups, when we talk about community, is we're trying to rebel against that. We're trying to rebel against loneliness. We're trying to rebel against ungodliness. We're trying to rebel against that duplicity. We're trying to rebel against the facade of community that so many of us buy into. Like Mark said, one of our foundational statements at Whitestone says, "We'll refuse to settle for cheap imitations of community." Now, we came up with that statement. I was in the room when we landed on it, and we landed on it talking a lot about the community that the church had in Acts chapter 2. We looked at Acts 2 in the early church, and we saw the way that those people loved each other, and the way that they shared their stuff, and the way that they fellowshiped with each other, and the way that they got into the Word together. And we looked at that, and we thought, we're never going to have that at Whitestone, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be our goal. And so we're going to go after it. We're going to do the best we can to try to mimic them. We're going to do the best we can to be in the Word together, to fellowship together, to love one another. We want to be the kind of church, I tell couples all the time in premarital counseling, probably done it 100 times now, I'll tell them, the greatest gift that you can give to this world, the greatest example you can set for Christ's love for the church, is for you to love your spouse in a way that says, "I know everything there is to know about you, and I love you still." Man, that's the sweet message of the gospel to the world. When I look at Bethany and I go, "I know everything there is to know about this lady more than anybody else, and I love it all." Even in spite of all those things. I think that's the kind of relationship we're supposed to have as a church body. We're supposed to put ourselves in community, in relationships with people who really know us, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the scars. They see it all and they still look in and go, "Man, I still love you. And I'm still going to walk with you. And I'm still going to be there. I'm still going to be there for you." We're trying to mimic what the church did in Acts 2, the relationship they had, the way they fellowshiped with each other in hope of reaping some of the same fruits. I mean, when you look back at the church then, there was a fire. The Spirit was moving. The Bible says the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. We want to mimic what they did so we can reap the same fruit that they reaped. The goal of our small group ministry at Whitestone can be summed up in one sentence, and it's this: we desire here at Whitestone to connect people to the Word of God and to each other. It's that simple. Our small group ministry, we desire to connect people to the Word of God and to each other. Now, one caveat of that is that when we say the Word of God, we're talking about both Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, and we're talking about the Bible. And then when we talk about each other, we're talking about you all. And our goal to connect people to God's Word and to each other, the reason we do that is because we believe in this broken world, when all hell breaks loose in your life, when things fall apart, we believe that we need each other. We need friends who will be there for us, and we need biblical truths that we can stand on. Church, our world, I think, maybe some of you would disagree, our world is more lonely and more perverse than it has ever been. And the church has within its walls, or at least today outside of its walls, the keys or the secrets to counter that loneliness. We have the perfect gift of the Word of God, the perfect gift of Jesus Himself, the imperfect gift of ourselves, and it is our responsibility in terms of trying to see the kingdom advance to share those gifts with the world. Now, the way we try to do that at Whitestone is through our small group ministry. And the way that works is, outside of our regular Sunday morning service, we look for opportunities to gather with other people in our body. We ask our groups to share a meal together and to get into the Word together. We believe that in terms of there's no better way to bond with people than to share a meal with them. There is no better way to learn about God and His truth than to be in His Word. And so that's our focus when those times are together. We share a meal to bond together. We get in His Word to learn about Him. What we're providing you with this morning, and the reason that it looks a little bit different, and Kevin Wiley is at least in part responsible for what we're doing here. So if you think this stinks, first say it's Bristol, baby, then talk to Kevin Wiley. Kevin, when we were doing our small group trainings, at our second training, Kevin was talking about the barriers that keep people from joining small groups. And he said that he really thought one of the barriers was just the first interaction between a person and a small group leader. Like that, a lot of times, is what keeps people don't want to just walk up to a house that they've never been to. They don't want to just have to enter a room when there's nobody they've ever talked to in that room. So that makes people really nervous. And he said this is a barrier that he sees when he looks out that hinders people from doing that. And so when he said that, we started trying to brainstorm, well, what are some ways we can take that wall down? What are some ways that we can break that barrier down? Our idea, that the way that we've done it functionally, is not Kevin's thought, but the way that we've done that is what we're doing here this morning. We're trying to break down that barrier. I'm going to ask, if you are a leader and you're working a table, for you to go on back now. Go on and get ready at your table. But this is what the rest of the morning is going to look like. We do believe that our small groups and what we do in small groups is just as much church as what we do on Sunday mornings is church. It's just as important. It's just as valuable. It is just as real. If we didn't believe that, we certainly wouldn't give up this time or surrender this time to that space. But this is what the day is going to look like. We've asked all of our small group leaders, and some of the people, if it's an existing small group, we've asked some of the people who are in their small group. They're inside the gym and they've got a table set up. And at every table, there's food at their table, and then there's information about what their group is going to be studying. Here in a couple minutes, we're going to dismiss. All of you all are going to, if you're willing, please, you're going to go in that gym, and all we're asking you to do for the next 30 minutes is just fellowship. Walk around the room. If you see food that you want, pick up food. There's plates. There's delicious stuff. There's slushies. I've got drinks, orange drinks. You'll appreciate that, Alan and my at the table. We've got Crush and Sunkist. Walk around the room and fellowship. Just a few things to kind of give you a heads up on before we go in. Here's one. If this is your first time visiting with us at Whitestone, we don't expect you to walk in that room and to sign up and be like, I'm in. I want to join this. That's not what we expect. If that's you, use this time just to fellowship. I feel like it's a gift. Use it as a time to get to know some people. This is the one thing I'm asking you. If you're visiting or if you've only been here two or three times, consider the fact that sometimes God makes appointments, divine appointments. Let's just all admit that we trust and lean on God's sovereignty, and this, if this is the first or second time that you're at our place, maybe it's because this is the time you were supposed to be here. So use it as an opportunity. There may be somebody in there you're supposed to have a conversation with. Maybe somebody there in there that you're supposed to know. Maybe God, as you're walking around that room, God will just clearly smoke your heart the way He does sometimes and say, this is a group that you're supposed to be a part of. If that's you, then I pray that you'll do that. If you're here and you've been a part of a group for a long time, then I just pray that you, what I hope that room looks like when we walk into it is I hope it feels like a family reunion. I want you just to pop around, learn about what the other groups are doing, have conversations, really treat it like an old Baptist homecoming or something. Just eat some food together and talk and share your life with one another. The way that it's going to work is once you leave here and you walk into the hallway, we've got a couple of beautiful Haitian girls and they've got some tickets. We do have some door prizes that we're going to hand out. Okay. So those girls are going to hand you a ticket. We are still going to end on time. We're going to at 12 o'clock. I'm going to take the mic in the Boys and Girls Club gym. I'm going to announce the winners of those door prizes and then we're going to dismiss. So you're going to walk in, you'll get a ticket. Once you get a ticket, you'll step into the gym. There's a welcome area in the gym, and you'll see all the leaders and their tables set up. I think the only other thing I need to say about that is on the tables, you'll see day and times that the groups meet, and then you'll also see some balloons hanging from the tables. If you see a blue balloon, that means that's a men's group. See a pink balloon, means it's a women's group. Pink and blue means that it's for anybody. Okay, some of those are couples groups, but most of them are just open to anybody. In that room, we have 14 different tables set up. There's a group at least for every person who's here. Age group doesn't matter. There's college age, whatever. That's the way it's going to look. Does that make sense? So we're gonna. I think I'm pretty close to time right now. 11:34. I'm going to pray and then we'll move into that direction because I got a table of my own that I got to get to. I pray that you all will enjoy this and look for the Spirit in it. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, it is true community that we so desperately desire. God, I personally pray out of my own heart that you would break down the walls that keep me from living out of my true self. I pray that for everybody who's here. God, I pray especially for our little girls in the back worshiping. Don't let them buy into the lie that they got to do the act, that they got to be up on the stage. Let them, the song that we sang, they're yours, they're pure, they're true, they're free. Help them find their identity in you and no place else. I pray that for our young men too who do the same thing. God, keep us from playing the game. Help us to experience truth and reality and love. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all the work that's went in today. Thank you for this weather. Been tracking it all week and been seeing rain on the radar, but here we are and it feels like a gift. God, move today, even now, as these people take their first steps and they walk in that room. God, I do pray that by the power of your Spirit that you would speak in a way to them that they don't understand. If there are people here visiting and this is supposed to be their church, I pray that you would say, hey, it's time. This is it. Let's dig in. If there are people who've been here a long time who have never been a part of a group, I pray today would be the day that they would decide, hey, I'm going to do this. I desperately need this. I need some friends and I need some truth. And I pray that they would do that. Move today in our body. Thank you for all the hard work that's made this day possible. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If y'all would stand and you're dismissed. Join us in the gym.